This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We are live at Globe Life Field in Arlington, and they have just dropped off some of the red Peagle rally towels for today's game, the Rangers and the A's. 1:35 gets going, 1 o'clock pregame right here on the Fan.
Can I tell you something that happened yesterday when I was driving to the park? There was a lot more traffic around the stadium yesterday around 4:45, and I wasn't here late, but I was supposed to get here at 4:30, so I was a little bit late. And there were already, and I'm not making this number up because Carter can confirm this, he showed up here 15 minutes after the gates opened at 5 o'clock. There were 20,000 people outside
to get the replica trophy, right?
At 4:45, 15 minutes before this building opened, there were already 20,000 people. So you had to, once they opened the gates,
that's crazy.
If you weren't already in line, and the lines were around the building because it was half full. By 5:30, this building was already half full, an hour and 15 minutes, or an hour 10. Sorry,
I should have
said hour 40 before game time. It was, I've never seen it like that before. For giveaways.
I should have said amazing, not crazy. Like, yeah. I don't think it's crazy to do that. That's just that's amazing. And congrats to everyone who got one.
I mean, you had to work your butt off. I mean, you just had to really leave work early or not be a worker.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're independent.
Worker. Or maybe you're working.
Maybe that's your day off.
Yeah, you maybe you work from home and that's like how you work.
But you literally had to be in line before the gates open to get the 10,000 people. There are people that got here before the gates open that didn't get one.
Wow. That is, that's.
Should you give them out
every day? Yeah, every fan should get one.
Just if they said they were giving 10,000 more out today, would 10,000 people buy a ticket now
absolutely.
And then show up here at 11 a.m.?
Yes, guaranteed. Because people, that's something that, you know, we talked about the Corey Seager bat yesterday, Mike. You know, that's a one-of-one thing. But this is something that, you, as a Rangers fan, this is the first one. This is the one that you get. It's only a one-of-one for Rangers fans right now. So having that is your thing, man.
For a Wednesday against the Oakland Athletics, this was
smartly planned.
Three-fourths full? Like, I just didn't expect, especially the game before, the Tuesday night against Oakland. It was a little bit more than half full, but it's Oakland. It's a school week. And then here it was yesterday, and I don't know what the crowd's going to be like today. It's a tough one. Thursday during a work day in the middle of the day might be a tough crowd, but, man, there are a lot of people here last night.
Let me ask you a question. From the 214, yeah, I missed out on it. Does it bother you, the people that missed out on it, for the people who just showed up to resell it? Like, that's just the way capitalism works.
Yeah, but they're selling for, if you want one, I hate telling you this, but if you want one, they're approximately $100 right now on eBay.
Ooh, holy moly.
I mean, you're going to have to pay. If you want one bad enough, though, I would say that $100 is worth it if you want it bad enough.
From the 214, I got my trophies on eBay selling for more than $140
right
now. And there's multiple people who are like, from the 817, yeah, I desperately wanted that mini trophy. Didn't get one. You should see from the 940 how much people are selling them for on Facebook Marketplace. And that's just the way capitalism works, and I understand that. But I am bummed for the people who are like, I love the Rangers. I'm a diehard. I just really, really wanted that mini championship trophy.
And there's people that do this, and you can't fault them for this. They do is they buy four tickets in the upper deck.
Yeah.
They get in line at 4 p.m., an hour before the game.
Yeah.
They're
like,
I have four tickets. It doesn't mean I have to have four people. I'm checking in with my four tickets. You give them four bobbleheads. And I do think 95% of the people that bought a ticket yesterday stayed.
Sure.
But there are a few people, I've seen it before, that do this because they know there's a profit margin here. Let's just say your ticket was $20.
Right.
You know you can sell it for $100 easy on eBay.
Right.
You buy four tickets at $80. You sell these at $400. You've made $320 approximately. Obviously, I'm not including the huge taxes and fees that eBay throws on everything.
Right, right.
But yeah, I think most people stayed. A lot of people, though, I asked on the Evan Carter bobblehead day, there was a line to still get in. Those did not go as fast. There was 15,000 instead of 10. You probably could have been in line at, let's say the gates open at 5. You could have been here and gotten in line. And if you got here by 5:30, I think you would have got one of those. Like, that was probably the latest you could have got Evan Carter. But people would get it. And then they're in line to go somewhere else.
Okay, yeah.
I was like, where are you guys going? Is there like an Evan Carter autograph session that I don't know about? But they were having to leave. They recheck you out, and then they check you in. And when they check you back in, obviously it says your ticket has already been scanned. You don't get another bobblehead.
From the 817, I got my mini trophy last night and had Chuck Morgan sign the box.
Oh, that's cool.
That's a, like, I wonder if that, you know, Chuck Morgan's been a very busy man, I bet, because he's got that window and the door and everything.
I signed 3 boxes.
You did?
I thought it was not smart of those people, and I told them. I was like, I didn't do anything. I'm not... I don't announce the games like Chuck Morgan, and I'm not Corey Seager or Marcus Semien, but they wanted me to sign it, and I did.
That's got to mean something to you, though, right?
And once again, I think because I talked yesterday, it was really cool because I said yesterday about the Tolos.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm trying not to make up this number. I don't want to exaggerate, and I was trying to be like really approximate with about 250 people. You know, yell Tolo, say what's up, this and that. So I think because we had a lot of listeners yesterday listening to us that then came here, I thought even more. Said, what's up, because they had heard me talk about it, and it was really cool. Yesterday, Joe Trahan with the Dallas Cowboys was here. He's a professor at UNT, or at least he teaches a session or a class. I'm sorry if I'm getting this wrong, Joe, but he was here
PR class,
with students, and I'm forgetting to give a shout-out, but there was a huge Tolo in that class. He went to Bishop Lynch. He's in his third year at UNT.
Cool.
He's hoping one day to become a broadcaster. And was asking me a lot of questions. Awesome kid. I'm sorry I'm forgetting your name, brother, but I had a lot of people who said hi. And then there's a Tolo who gave me 6 big chocolate bars that I've delivered 2 of them to you.
Yes.
I obviously can't see the other guys today, but it's on the back, her name, to just give a shout-out to our Tolo.
It's from Anita. Anita sent these in to us, and I really appreciate that. That is awesome. I have a suggestion to us. Because
tell me about
this is a significant thing, and people love shout-outs, Kevin. Like, people, I mean, even people try to get shout-outs on Thursdays and Wednesdays and Tuesdays and even Mondays, whenever it's really just shout-out Friday. Mm-hmm. We need to have a way for Tolos to print Tolo cards with their names on them, okay?
Well, that's a great idea.
They can carry them out here to games and give that card to Mike so he can have his stack and go,
that would be cool.
John yesterday showed up. Tito yesterday showed up.
Yeah,
Jerry
cool.
showed up. You know, just and he has cards. Everybody has their own little Tolo
You're
cards.
You saying Jerry Jones would hand me a card saying
no,
Jerry
just,
Tolo?
And there are lots of dudes named Jerry, Mike. Lots of people named Jerry. But Jerry is a Tolo. That is for sure.
Common name, I feel
really?
Yeah. Like.
No, yeah.
Is it not?
Tom and Jerry. It was a cartoon show. Yeah. Remember that? Jerry Seinfeld.
Wasn't that one called Jerry Fired Tom?
No, that's a different one. He did fire Tom. Wow, I didn't even think about that.
I did not either.
But that way, people can have little cards to give to Mike, so he can remember their names. So he could be like, "I got their names. Here's the stack after last night's game. I'm saying shout outs to everybody that came up to say hi. Would you remember the cards?
It would help me out. I'd put them in my computer bag, so then I would have that, because there's a lot of people. It's really cool. A young kid. Came up, he's like, look, and he had a picture of me at the Dallas card show with him. He's like, are you going the next one? How's your Evan Carter collection going? And I'm like, well, his cards are going down, so it's easier to get right now. But, you know, it's actually happening. Kevin, what you said to start the year is, do you hope in a way that Evan Carter gets off to a slow start so his cards go down so they're easier to
get?
Yes. And that is happening. Why did you put that on him?
Nah. I didn't say I hope it happens. I said, do you hope for financial reasons so you can swoop in? Because at the time, you said, I'll buy all the cards and prove those people wrong in the long run.
And now I'm questioning myself.
For not
There's
buying
a
them.
Card that might be like $200 today that it goes off on eBay that was more like $300 right before the season started. Should I invest another $200 in Evan Carter?
Corey,
are you telling me he's going to be under $200 this year?
Corey, I want to ask if I can do a little Forgiveness Friday early. I want to ask for forgiveness. I thought Mike was a big Evan Carter fan, but hearing this, it sounds like he's like a wishy-washy Evan Carter fan if he's not buying
this
card.
We'll call it Tell It To Me Thursday.
Here's the card.
Yeah, Tell It To Me Thursday.
It says increase max bid because I'm winning it. I shouldn't even say this because now somebody's going to outbid me.
This was a poor strategy to get that out over the air, especially when you just said how popular the show is and the station is. This is a poor strategy.
We are so popular.
We are.
It's like it's too much. I would like to become less popular.
Okay.
Disagree.
So here's something I was thinking about this morning because I have been, when we go out to dinner as families, there's always.
You can't even eat dinner
anymore,
can you?
There is one person, at least one person, every time I go out. And I love it. No, I love it because that's what we got into. We discuss Michael Jordan, right? Like he can't. His life is different.
Yes,
he can't.
You're not Michael Jordan.
I think we're there.
I disagree.
But this dude, like, he can't go anywhere, and that's why he's rude to people. He's like, I can be rude. I have everything in the world. I can be rude.
We gotta be Dirks.
We're nice.
Dirk can't go anywhere. He's a 7-foot dude. First of all, he can't. He can't just put on a hat and a beard and be like, nobody knows who I am. You're Dirk. You're a 7-foot German guy walking around. Nobody looks like you.
But right? I would say this. Here's my request is because there are a lot of people that Kevin will say, hey, I saw you at, let's say, some restaurant.
Right.
Was this you? I took a picture of you from afar, but I didn't want to say hi.
Just say hello in the moment. It's way better than the alternative.
It makes us look awesome to our kids and our wives. Our wives are, I mean, she acts like she doesn't like it. You know, she's like, oh, I can't take you anywhere. But we look awesome to them. They're
like,
oh my gosh.
Do you think women like famous guys?
Oh my gosh. Power, fame, money, those are the big three, right?
That's what they're looking for.
And I'm just big me.
I'm sure there are some
somebody
plenty of people who love famous
people. Kevin, is it your first time out to the ballpark this year?
No, second.
Second. You're going to be overwhelmed.
Yeah, man. We're
world
champs.
It's just
going to
be like, I can't do this anymore. We're going to need security.
I don't think
we got our security
any of that.
The yogurt right now.
I'm not going to ask for security.
If you had a security detail,
yes.
All right.
Ruben eating a yogurt.
Yeah, well, and he has some sort of nut dipping that he put into it, too. That was weird. But he
give it crunch.
Yeah, it's right there. Kevin, if you had a security detail, mm-hmm. would you want, like, multiple former military vets that are as your detail? Would you want one just gigantic Bruno type guy who's just walking around with his glasses and his briefcase, or do you want like a little dude that knows like all the judo and everything? What do you want?
See,
I watched Peacemaker and I saw Judo Master, and I was like, that dude's
awesome.
I
don't need a super. Well, hold on, I want this to get marked. He can be. I don't really know of a good way to say this. He can be a big fella. I want him dressed in a suit, mm-hmm. perhaps with sunglasses, and people are like, I don't know, man. That dude looks like if something goes down, he's going to kill us all. And so he doesn't need to be super jacked,
right.
Just like big enough and in his power suit, all black, that you're like.
Mm-hmm. I want the opposite. I want Mark Henry, but I want him in his wrestling gear. And so everybody knows he's ready to go. Like a suit guy, you're like, he's in a suit. He's going to be a little bit. You know, strain. By the way, speaking of juice, I talked to the juice makers here.
I really thought that was going to be an OJ transition.
No, he's dead. The small batch tequila that's behind us that's in the blue and red juice, I confirm this. We've talked about this before. If you're a Tolo, you know what we're talking about. We're in center field today. We're on the AstroTurf. Not in center field.
Yes.
Up, like
behind,
two levels up. Because there's turf on the field and turf where we're at.
Right.
The juice makers of the tequila slushies did tell me I was right. It's an hour and a half. Give or take like 5 to 10 minutes. It's
okay.
An hour and a half. Right now the juice is just juice. But it's going to be slush here pretty soon. When you get to the ballpark, it's going to be slushy time.
From the 214, I saw Mike at Whataburger by 75 in Haskell. He was surrounded by multiple people. So there you go. He was.
That's where I met. I'm sorry, I'm forgetting his name, but he was like.
That's why you need to get polo
cards.
Yeah, it was awesome. He was very nice. He's like, you're famous. I was like, I know.
Oh, my God.
It's overwhelming.
Look, I
at this point, if me and Corey Seager were in a line at Whataburger,
they'd know
I don't know.
Stupid. Yeah, they'd
I
know
don't know.
Thing
I really
right
don't
now.
Know.
Especially if they heard
you're
you
saying
talking.
That Corey Seager wouldn't be in a Whataburger.
No,
or
I'm saying Corey Seager would be way more popular than you at the Whataburger.
At this point, let's find out.
Well, I want to take a different tactic. Thank you guys for making us so popular. Uh-huh. I apologize for those who think it's too much of a burden. I love it. Thank you guys very, very much.
We're just learning how to live with it is what Mike's saying. Okay, like, that's we're learning.
You guys make our life and career much easier.
God, I'm more famous now than I ever was throwing a baseball.
That I believe. Unless people call you the C word, probably.
Oh, yeah, they did. They like calling you an F and C in New York. No matter if you're – I'm not even pitching today, man.
It doesn't matter who it is, man. It doesn't matter who it is. They're just, you're wearing the wrong jersey today, buddy.
Can we throw it to cut –
I'm wearing the home team jersey. And they're calling me that.
All right. Well, I'm going to give up on that part. I'm going to throw
what
out.
Cut? What cut do you want?
Nope. I'm going to go with.
Dude, we can finish this with just more of this kind of banter. I think the Tolos are loving it right now.
I'm going to go with two other things instead. Do you want to go with Jackson Holliday or Max Scherzer?
Max Scherzer plays for the world champion Rangers. Jackson Holliday's an 0-for-4.
Okay. That's a great point. Max Scherzer has, it sounds like he's trying to move the timeline up again. Because
I like what you're saying here, because the other station had, they're like, I think All-Star break. And I'm like, have you guys not listened to anything from like February 15th to March 30th?
Well, here, hey, ticket folks, take a listen and this can help you out. This is from Max Scherzer. I'm sorry, was I not supposed to say that? What is that, the third time this morning I've done something like that? This is from Max Scherzer directly. I really feel like I'm kind of turned the corner in terms of rehab. I'm recovering from bullpens, feeling normal, looking to get into live batting practice next week, and then going from there. Should be on a rehab assignment pretty soon. So, again, you're moving up the timeline, and I really dig that.
Like, he is a super competitor. And, Mike, I think the most important part about that is he said this is from Max Scherzer directly. So, Kevin's so famous now that Max just texts him back and forth.
I'm sorry. It was either Sean McFarland or Evan Grant with the Dallas Morning News.
I like
who
it
got
more
that.
The guy who
the
makes the characters.
That is Todd McFarland.
I do like this from the – where did it go? Oh, from 806, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift send out Mike to distract the media from them. So that's how famous Mike is.
At this point,
stop it.
I don't even know.
I know. I know.
Sabathia was at the Super Bowl right behind Taylor Swift. They might be like, we got to put you in another area.
So the camera zooms in on her, and they're like, hold on, wait a second, it's Mike Messick. And then they like kick the camera over to the right.
I'm going to confuse people.
Kevin, to get back on that, the Max Scherzer topic, that's great news. It's great to hear. I want him to be pitching as soon as possible. But I don't – it is much like we need him when it matters most.
Yeah.
And right now, do you feel like – this group can carry it, or like Heaney, I have a lot of questions about. So I need another starter.
I hear what you're saying. I just think Max Scherzer might be the number one individual that it's impossible to slow down. Like you might be like, hey, take your time, and he's like, f that.
I'm Max
Scherzer.
I need
to go out to pitch.
There is a difference between him and Jacob DeGrom. Max Scherzer has 1 year left on this contract. Jacob DeGrom has 4 years left.
Yeah.
So in a way, I hate saying this, but this is the reality of it.
You
the Rangers
the
aren't going to be as protective of Max Scherzer going, look, he's 39 years old. He's on a one-year deal. If he's ready, if we're seeing the signs that he's ready, let's go with it. We have approximately, when Max Scherzer is ready, 4.5 months baseball left with Max Scherzer. I hope he signs a 1 or 2 year deal with the Rangers after this year's over that he did great. The Rangers want him back, and we get to see Max Scherzer have another 1 or 2 years with the Texas Rangers. But I do think that they'll let Max Scherzer be more aggressive, if that makes sense.
Now, the other thing I wanted to ask you real quick, Corey, how impressed are you by this? This tweet was sent out by Buster Olney on November 14th, 2013. Matt Holliday's son, future All-Star. Now that he's in Major League Baseball.
Which one, though?
He was referencing Jackson,
and
he followed up and said, no, I've seen it, because people are like, isn't that a little too early? He goes, no, I've seen him hit. I believe it. Are you impressed by that?
That is,
or do you think
impressive.
By saying Matt Holliday's son, he gave himself a little grace?
Brad Townsend, Kevin, said the Mavericks would probably finish sixth in the playoff or the standings this year.
And now we're no worse than fifth.
Yeah, no worse than fifth.
Good
so
job, Brad.
Did Brad Townsend mess it all up, or
and we know we're playing the Clippers?
He said
too.
It in October.
It's official.
That was before the trade. So
that's impressive.
That was
then.
Impressive for him to say that even before the trade.
Agreed.
So I like predictors, Kevin. I do like people.
I'm
who
excited
predict
about what's coming up next, Kevin.
Well,
tease me.
What's coming up next, Mike? I wish you wouldn't say it like that. Let's talk Mavs, Heat, and which April version of PJ Washington is Dallas going to get in the playoffs? We'll talk about it next, live from Globe Life Field on your home of the world champion Rangers, 105 through the Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
3 seconds. Shake and bait behind the back. Drives inside. Falling away at the buzzer. Kyrie Irving nails it. Such a difficult shot. Made look easy. And Dallas has a 9-point lead.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan. We're live from Globe Life Field in Arlington, home of the defending world champion Texas Rangers. They'll get going against Oakland about 1:35 pregame at 1 o'clock right here on your home of the Rangers, 105 through the Fan. Now, I loved one of the descriptors right there. He makes difficult shots look so easy. I know we got some stuff we want to talk about with PJ Washington, but I want to focus in on this game first because, Corey, you had a great way of putting it before our show started. It felt like the Mavericks were up to the task of whatever variety of basketball or pace that you wanted to go.
Yeah, they are what I used to, and this is kind of what I was saying yesterday about the Stars too. They have all the tools in the box. They are right now in their bag. They know exactly what they are. They can match up with you. I thought the Spurs were phenomenal at playing your game. If you decided you wanted to run the court against them back in the day, they'd say, that's fine, we can do that too. And then they would be like, all right, we'll slow it down on you, and we're going to play our game against you, and we're going to beat you at that. The Mavericks went into Miami, which is known as a defensive, physical team, and they said, we're going to be more defensive and more physical than you guys. We're going to match it and be better at it than you guys. If you guys want to shoot threes against us, good luck. Everything that the Mavs did last night was not only were they up to the task, Kevin, but they looked like they wanted to make a statement to everybody that it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what type of game you play. We play your game and we play it better. And adding PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford is a huge factor in this because of the size of this team now. I mean, even whenever you have PJ Washington, Exum, Gafford, and Luka out on the court, and let's say, you know, Kyrie's out there. Yeah. He's still a wizard with the ball. But your size defensively,
Jones out there,
those guys can rotate and do so many different things. Their defensive, not just the effort, but their defensive acumen now has raised so far. And I know a lot of people won't give Luka credit for his defensive efforts. He's not just out. It doesn't. When I'm watching him now, he's not just out there trying.
He's
playing defense along with a group of guys that are all committed to playing defense.
By the way, last three games, y'all, Daniel Gafford, 21 shots, 21 makes. He's shooting 78% with the Mavericks. I don't care where you're shooting from in a live game. That's pretty dang impressive.
I did have this game on upstairs while I was watching this Ranger game here live. And so I wasn't watching it where I'm watching every play like I usually do if I'm at home. But they have given me such confidence. And here's what I'm scared of, guys, before watching Denver last night. Is I'm like, I don't think anybody's better than them. Where are you guys at? Before we get into P.J. Washington, I don't know. Maybe we need to get into just P.J. Washington. But I'm watching them play, and I'm like, this is Miami. They're fighting for something. They're trying their best. And Miami, in a way, can't even compete with us.
Not even close. I'm having this hard time. I'm having a very difficult time believing it right now because I know what I'm seeing. What I'm seeing is great. But when it is there a difference between right now and the season and the playoffs?
I don't think so. Sorry to if you had more. I don't think so because of the size. Like, your size will translate way better to the playoffs than whatever finesse jump shooting, whatever you're trying to do. Your size is going to translate. And so, thank you very much for having Stacks dropped off for us.
Awesome. Yes, is this lemon?
Wow.
Is this lemon? Oh my gosh, she just nailed it. This is going to be
what'd
the
she
one.
Say?
Lemon coconut.
Oh, it is, delightful.
This is,
thank
I'm
you
eat
very
this right
much.
Now.
Go ahead.
I told you how popular
give us was. Give us your reaction to that. But I think the size translates so much better in the playoffs than past Mavericks teams that obviously haven't been able to put this up.
The thing is this team can play any way you want to play. And that is so important in the NBA playoffs. it's tough for me to think of, and maybe more NBA experts would say, oh, no, this team could only play one style and they won the championship. They can play up-tempo with a team and beat them that way.
I agree.
Can now play a slow game, a defensive, mm-hmm. slow, walk-it-up-the-court game and win that game. That's honestly Luka's style.
Those Tim Duncan Spurs were that.
And so I'm to the point where I'm like, I get it. Boston's awesome. Watching Denver last night, they scare the living crap out of me, and they got the one seed for now. So if you were to beat the Clippers, which I do think the Mavs would, you'd match up with Denver in the second round, and they look pretty unbeatable, to be honest, watching them last night against Minnesota. But I think the Mavericks have a chance. I think they're the only team. I think Denver and the Mavericks are the two best teams. Now, that being said, Corey, it didn't matter. I watched this morning Kendrick Perkins, Richard Jefferson, Shannon Sharp.
What about the Lakers? What are they doing?
Right, and they do not see the Mavericks as a true contender.
Sure.
Okay. They see them as a good team, a team that's really improving. They're giving them some praise. At the same time, they do not want to go to, probably because they're the five seed and just won their 50th game, which was a major accomplishment from being 34-29.
Yes.
But they don't want to put them into the contender status.
Okay, and maybe for the same reason that I'm kind of nervous is the pro guys know throughout a season what it takes. Goes back to years ago, Jesse Holley was like, of course Todd Gurley's doing this right now. He's had 6 weeks off. Everybody else is tired,
right,
and he's coming into this fresh, so he's popping off this injury like he's, you know, like he's the man right now. Of course that's going to happen. Wait till he gets a little tired. And that's where I'm kind of like waiting right here. Are the Mavs trying harder than everybody else right now?
I don't.
And the, like last night, the Heat were trying hard. And so I wonder if that has something to do with it, if the Richard Jeffersons and the Perkins are not just jealous of what the Mavs are doing, but if they're looking at it going, look, right now in the season, a lot of people feel like they're settled into the playoffs and they're not going out and giving max effort like the Mavericks who are out there. I'm concerned. We talked about teams doing this, being at a peak and having nowhere else to go from here. But, Kevin, the one thing I'm watching, I want to argue against myself real quick here. The one thing I'm seeing is with Luka and only Luka and a bunch of guys standing on the perimeter, there was this – you've run out of plays, guys.
Yep.
Y'all have run out of stuff to do. Now there's it's Yu Darvish with 80 pitches and an Ephus.
And you have another pitcher essentially out there that can also do those plays.
Yeah, exactly. And so like when it comes to Luka knows where his bread and butter is. He knows he can get his shots whenever he wants to. He knows he can set up guys. But then whenever they say, we got that covered, we've run out of plays. Oh, guys, don't forget, I got Daniel Gafford here in the middle. Or P.J. Washington cutting to the basket. Or Exum's wide open, and he's going to deliver. So there's just so much more the Mavs can do as a team now.
So a couple of things there. I'm not disputing Richard Jefferson or Kendrick Perkins' basketball knowledge at all. But they also work in a medium where you know what sells. And the Lakers, the Warriors, they
Cowboys.
Sell better. Yes, well, for sure. Mm-hmm. But if just in basketball, they sell more than Denver or Dallas or Minnesota, OKC or whatever. So I think that's part of it. And then when you talk about the Mavericks playing harder than anybody else, maybe the Clippers, we might need to have that conversation. As you saw last night, they were like, we don't care. Because they sat everybody.
Right.
But Oklahoma City, Minnesota, Denver, they're all trying to get that top spot. Like, if you watch that Denver-Minnesota game last night, Anthony Edwards and Jokic in the third quarter were like, the hell, I am going to lose this game. And then the other one's like, oh, we'll see about that. So I think you're getting max effort probably from four of the five. The Clippers, that's a different deal. And so I understand any concerns there, but I like the Mavs shots against the Clippers. I did not like Denver winning that game last night.
No, because that puts them on your side of the bracket. And watching them last night with a healthy Jamal Murray, they're the best. I don't think they're way better than the Mavericks anymore, but I still think they're better. Michael Porter Jr., when healthy, is a dangerous threat at his size.
Agreed.
He's an unstoppable jump shot. There's nothing you can do because he's almost 7 feet tall shooting like a real jump shot. He's in a way somewhat. He's not nearly this good, but he's like when Kevin Durant was in his prime and raised up to shoot a shot, there's nothing you could do. Like, they're way taller than the person. You can't put a tall guy on them or they'll drive right by you. So they are very dangerous. That's the only team right now that I feel like can beat the Mavs, at least in the Western Conference. I think Boston's a great team, and I think they're going to have an easy road to the NBA Finals. So I think Boston's going to easily make the NBA Finals, but I think the three best teams in the NBA, in whatever order you want to put them, is Denver, Boston, Dallas.
And that actually is my specific order. That is why we brought up P.J. Washington, all right? Because you said something the other day, and in between, in the Charlotte game, not good. But here's his breakdown for the month, and that's why we focus on the month of April. P.J. Washington, 16 points a game, 7 rebounds a game, shooting 38% from 3 and 46% from the field. Keep in mind those numbers include him going 0-for-6 the other night against Charlotte. Which April P.J. Washington are you going to get? Is it going to be a mix of you're going to get a couple of Charlotte games in there, but then you're going to get the rest of what you've seen? But if this is the P.J. Washington you see in the playoffs, where he's shooting 38% from three, where he's shooting 46% from the field while giving you 16 points and cleaning up the glass, how much better does that make you feel about the Mavericks? Because that feels like a huge deal.
The disagree with me if you want to here.
I am.
If I'm getting that version plus the connector that he is when it comes to moving the ball around the court, because he's doing a great job at that too. Last night specifically, the Heat went to the zone on the defensive side, and they said, "And what do you say about the zone?
Zone's for cowards."
So when they did that, the Mavs said, "That's fine. We're just going to put PJ Washington in the middle, and he gets to decide where the ball goes from there.
Yeah,
if he wants to go to the basket with it, that's fine. If he wants to distribute, he can do that, and he can do it.
He gets a lot of hockey assists, where it's not the last pass, but it's the pass before the last pass.
Yes, exactly." The pass before the pass before the pass.
Yeah.
He is that guy for the Mavericks because he can do those things. And the defensive part of it, he's kind of a Swiss Army knife, as we discussed a little bit yesterday. I don't necessarily need him to score 16.
Sure.
But I'd love it. But I think because of those things that he can do that are ancillary to getting the ball in the right hands, that's just the version I'll take no matter what. If I'm getting the defense and the connector part of it, I'm very happy with this guy.
If he's consistent, if you got like 16-7 every game, no more, no less, you beat the Clippers in 5,
easy.
Maybe 6 games.
Very easy, yes.
If he is who he's been his whole career, and even with the Mavericks, where you get a 30-point game, you're going to probably easily win that game. And then the next game you get 1-for-8 for 2 points and 0-for-2 from the free throw line, you could be in trouble. But that's who he is. He's going to give you great effort defensively. He's going to give you effort on the rebounds, which is going to contribute to a team. I hope that he's that consistent somewhere 12-18, somewhere in that range every game. And you should win most of your playoff games if he's that guy.
Especially if it's 40% from three.
Like
if 40% from three to hit that number.
If he's 2-of-5 from kind of the corners is where he gets most of his looks. If he's 2-of-5, which isn't, in a weird way, you think of that and you're like, that's not asking a lot, but that is a great percentage.
Yeah.
And he's going to get open looks. They're going to leave him to stop Kyrie, to stop Luka, to stop Gafford from diving to the basket for easy dunks. So he's going to get looks in the playoffs. That if he's making them, the other team's going to go, and they should. You just tip your cap and go, we lose.
Yeah.
If you walk Corey Seager today to pitch to Wyatt Langford, if he's in the lineup, I haven't seen the lineup today, and Wyatt Langford hits a homer, you tip your cap and go, we're passing on the best hitter in the American League to face the rookie, and if the rookie beats us, he beats us. And that's going to be the Mavericks' playoff successes. I think Luka's going to get his. Kyrie's going to get his as long as they're both healthy. And it'll be up to Exum, Gafford, Derek Jones Jr. at times. And obviously P.J. Washington will probably be the most out of the main role players, that if he's giving you really good games, the other team's going to say, we lose. There's nothing we can do.
The distribution last night, that's what I want in playoffs, man.
Okay.
When you get it was three dudes had 12, and then Kyrie and Luka had their 20-plus. Like, that's perfect for me because that means that was a team-oriented game. Ball has energy. Reggie talks about that all the time. Guy gets the ball, and he feels like he's part of the game. And that's what's happening with this team. They feel like they're doing something special.
We'll go over it more tomorrow, but the Mavericks are locked in to play the Clippers in the playoffs again, with it being overwhelmingly likely that the Clippers will have home court, though it is still possible.
It'd have to be a win-out-lose-out situation.
Correct.
Are we opening the roof today?
No.
Sorry, Maybe. Buddy.
I don't know. Check it out.
We're the KNC Masterpiece.
They never remember.
Right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live out at Globe Life Field. Coming up next, time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bastic.
Your 1 and 2s are doing awesome. Can your 3 figure it out today? Next.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan. We are live out at Globe Life Field leading into Rangers A's. If you want to come see us. Yes, that is true. Right now, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassick.
Yesterday, Cody Bradford was phenomenal. He has had three great starts. He's the only pitcher in Major League Baseball to win his first three games this year. Now, everybody hasn't gone through the rotation.
Yeah. Wow.
Tyler Glasnow is 3-0, but he has four starts because he got the extra start in Korea. So for your first three starts of the year, so far nobody has gone 3-0 except for Cody Bradford. Now, more people get to start. Everybody hasn't had three starts. Today is John Gray's third start. But he has been so good. And Nathan Eovaldi has been so good. And Dane Dunning has been good.
Yeah.
Right? How about this? It says here in notes for today's game, despite a myriad of injuries to their rotation, the Rangers have the sixth best starters ERA, a 3.24 in Major League Baseball after the first 2 weeks of the season.
Wow.
So when we think about this, we think about the greatness of Eovaldi, Bradford. Dunning has been really good to start the year. Obviously, he'll be making his third start here pretty soon against the Houston Astros in Houston. Today is John Gray Day. And, man, do we need him to figure this out in Game 3. Because Game 1 and Game 2 have not been at his best. Now, I will say there was an error in the inning that he gave up three runs. Also in that inning, this isn't an error, he gave up three walks. And, you know, I talked about confidence with John Gray. The other thing, too, guys, that I want to mention is it doesn't look like he's having fun. Now, I get it. If you're losing, it's not fun. There's no way to have fun when you're not throwing the ball the way you want, when you're backing up bases, when you're walking guys. If somebody says, hey, have fun, I'll be like, all right, you have fun getting your brains beat in. Like, it's not fun. There's nothing fun about it. But I want John Gray. I talked about confidence last time with him, and it didn't look like he was having a lot of confidence. But also, in a way, I want him to enjoy this. I don't know, like, how much do you think – I'm going to be specific on John Gray. How much do you think John Gray is enjoying pitching?
From what I'm seeing on the mound, 1 out of 10. Like, his look on the mound, Kevin, is kind of nervous. He looks kind of nervous about his whole self.
Is it just because he's not succeeding, you think, or the fact that the velos drop just a little bit that you get nervous about those types of things?
I don't know. And the other thing, too, is, like, Eovaldi – you can see everything on Eovaldi, right? When he's up out there pitching.
Especially with the new jerseys. I got what you're saying.
Yes. No, but when he's out there pitching, like, you can see the intensity. Bochy was talking about that yesterday. He's entertaining to watch because you can see, you can read everything that he's dealing with on the mound. And with John Gray, it's like, what is he thinking? Is he thinking about something else? You know, there's sometimes I watch him, I'm like, is he thinking about cooking later or what's going on there?
Well, it's going to be interesting because Michael Lorenzen, I don't know if he's going to make another rehab start because his last start last night did not go well.
Nope.
So he did not throw the ball where he wanted to. I think he might have walked five guys last night, if I'm remembering.
It was either four or five, yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe you give him another start in AAA just to be like, look, you're not throwing the ball where we want. We're seeing John Gray isn't throwing the ball where he wants. Andrew Heaney isn't throwing the ball where he wants. It's interesting. You talked about velocity.
Yeah.
We're talking about guys getting hurt all the time now. And yet, after the game, Cody Bradford said, I executed the game plan. I threw the ball where I want. I moved the ball in and out. I changed speeds. I moved the ball up and down. You talk about Eovaldi. He's like, well, when I gave up the home run, I didn't hit my location on my split finger. So I know you have to have stuff in this game. You can't go out there. I'm going to be honest about myself. In today's game, I don't think I can go out there with the stuff that I had when I was a major league pitcher or a triple A pitcher and get guys out because my stuff isn't good enough in today's game. And all I can say is I can only train with what I trained with.
Yeah.
In the 80s and 90s when I was a kid and then training and in the 2000s when I was a professional baseball player, I can only do what they're teaching me to do. It's like, well, you can, well, maybe I could have thrown harder if there was heavy ball works and the different, you know, workouts that guys go through now in high school.
Or you could have reinvented the wheel.
Right. But John Gray throws, I don't care that his speed's 94. we're seeing it. It's just location.
Location
his stuff
sure.
is yeah. good enough. He yeah. was the third overall pick. He's just not hitting locations, and Bradford's hitting locations.
And especially with that curve, man. I know we talked about it. He worked on it a lot in spring training. That curveball is looking good.
Yeah, and I guess that's the part that kind of concerns me most is the story that Kevin brought up, and that's what he's thinking. In his mind, it's that. It's not, I need to hit this spot. I need to practice on my
hand
spots.
Bike. I need to yeah,
right.
stretch
it was more of a physical
yeah.
thing
yeah,
than
it is
a,
finding
than execution.
Where, yeah, and you know, I don't know why you looked at it just as much as I did. The fastballs are all high. I did not see a lot of low fastballs.
You don't see edges either.
And that too. And so that's where I'm kind of concerned. Inside, outside, there's a lot more because that does set up with his slider. But man, you gotta be able to go in so many different areas to set pitches up. Mike knows that. I mean we watched it happen
right.
Houston, against in the World Series. Those pitchers were in their places.
I don't have this stat, but I remember doing John Gray's first game this year on Sunday, Easter Sunday, and it said like in his first like 14 starts last year, 12 starts, he had an ERA under 3.
He was phenomenal to start the year.
I have this today just to give you an idea on where he's gone from about June 18th last year when he made kind of that start where it just didn't go well. Dating back to June 18th of last year, John Gray is 3-6 with a 5.74 ERA in his last 19 regular season starts. It does say he was excellent out of the bullpen last postseason. That is true. That's true that he was good out of the pen last year in the playoffs when they used him out of there. But if you look at his last 19 starts, he's 3-6 with a 5.74. And this is a little bit concerning the next stat I'm going to give you with the packet today. Gray's stuff hasn't played well this season. He's struggling to get hitters to swing outside the zone.
Yeah.
Posting an 18.5 chase rate down from, if you had to guess, I won't give you this number, so it's
30.
Down, 32.1%.
Whoa, good
you missed
job,
it by 0.1.
Boy. .1.
But still right good. Now, one of the things, too, is when he does throw a ball, and he wants them to swing at it.
They don't.
They're not swinging at it. So they're waiting for him to get into the middle of the zone. He's not hitting the edges. So his misses at times are either misses down the middle or such bad misses the hitter's taking.
Yeah.
So that has to change. And I really feel like, man, it needs to change today. You just don't want to keep this rut going because he's in a funk right now.
Because there's been a lot of discussion about the six-person rotation once Lorenzen comes up. And if it's not six-man rotation, the assumption for the longest time was you'd put Bradford in the bullpen. Now are you looking at a situation where you're like,
there's no
all
way.
Right, Heaney or Gray,
yes.
looks like you have to shuffle on back into the bullpen.
That's Bochy's M.O. He's
I hope
go
so
with the hot hand.
Because I hope that they're all healthy.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is,
yeah.
is somebody's about to get hurt. I hate saying that. I'm not saying like
I think it would be short term.
Yes,
six,
I'm not yeah, saying yeah, like yeah. oh no, somebody's going to miss the whole season. Maybe that could happen, but it just feels like hey, once you think somebody's coming back, we're going to have a plethora
yeah.
of pitchers. You just end up having
yeah.
injuries and things happen. And just to finish here, just to make me feel better, okay? Because I did talk about the Evan Carter card I was bidding on, and then somebody bid it way up, so I'm not going to get that Evan Carter card. Congratulations, Tolo, who's beating me out on the Evan Carter image variation card now. Is
just up the bid.
Evan Carter, in his last six games, so this homestand, he is 7-for-22 with a home run. That is .318. So he got off to a rough start, but in this homestand so far, he is batting .318 on this homestand.
In your face, nice. Kevin.
I support Evan Carter. I love the Rangers.
What did you say the other night when Mason Miller threw 148 miles an hour on the edge to strike him out? No human being on the face of the earth could hit that ball.
Classic Carter. That should have been strike four. We're the KNC masterpiece.
Jeez.
Oh,
you don't think I'm wrong.
I'm doing Evan Carter, even when it's a strike. Mm-hmm.
No,
I'm just
not me.
Dude,
not
Evan,
me.
I like it just to. I don't get to troll you guys on anything. I like to do that just to troll.
Yeah, but you're not trolling.
Christmas
this
year, I'm going
to
get you an Evan Carter rookie card, and then he's just going to rip it right
that
in front of
my
face.
I know for a fact I would not.
A one of one. He's
going to be
up.
Like, he's going to immediately put it on eBay.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Who
coming
supports
up next?
Kevin in his journey to hate on Evan Carter?
I do not hate Evan Carter at all. Coming up next, it's a tradition like no other, so I'm giving in. who you got in the Masters, and what makes it the most prestigious major. We'll do it next live from Globe Life Field in Arlington on 105.3 The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.